Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Sidious Mag Podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. Our guests sit down and open up in depth to share their experiences, brilliant insights, and vivid snapshots from their professional and personal accomplishments in the sport. The presenting sponsor of the Sidious Mag Podcast is Olipop, healthy meets delicious. We've been looking for a drink sponsor for a while, and when we were introduced to Olipop, we were blown away. I was first drawn to the cans when I was shopping around at Whole Foods. Olipop is a new kind of soda. They combine prebiotics, plant fibers, and botanical extracts to support your digestive health with 9 grams of fiber, just 2 to 5 grams of sugar, and 45 calories or less in each can. The taste is fantastic, and you don't even realize how good it is for your gut health. It's free of artificial flavors, colors, preservatives, and sweeteners. We'll be sipping it on all of our shows, and we invite you to crack open and cheers an Olipop with us. Visit drinkolipop.com, it's spelled O-L-I-P-O-P, to learn more. Sidious Mag Podcast listeners get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code SIDIOUS25 at checkout. You can also pick them up at a store. They're available at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, HEB. Visit drinkolipop.com for more information and use code SIDIOUS25 for your listener discount. This show is also supported by listeners like you. Across podcasts, newsletters, videos, articles, and social media, we hope to continue bringing you the most comprehensive coverage of track and field in 2023. If you want to throw your support behind us, we're on Patreon. Contribute whatever you feel most comfortable with to keep us going strong. Thanks to Kathy McGrady-Getz for joining the Loyal Legion of Backers. If you're interested in pledging any contribution, visit us at patreon.com/sidiousmag. We're also on Venmo for those of you who want to support the show and get a shout out in the next episode. Valley Voices sent us a nice tip saying, let's pass out some high fives and tell people that they're awesome. You got it. Rob Economy also threw us $26.20. I get it, and I appreciate it. The other way you can support us is by leaving a nice review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Just last week, we had someone say, this is it. You found it. The Mecca of Running Podcasts. Really enjoy all of the content Sidious Mag puts out on a regular basis to keep us fans in the loop on all things running. Keep up the great work. We need more reviews and ratings like that so that new people can continue to discover the show when we appear on the charts. Thanks again to everyone for their support. My guest for this episode is Molly Huddle. This is her first time back on the Sidious Mag Podcast since being guest number 6 all the way back in March 2017. She recently made her postpartum return to high-level competitive racing and finished an impressive 5th place at the Houston Half in 1 hour, 10 minutes, and 1 second, almost 9 months after welcoming her daughter. Join us as we talk about her journey back to the starting line and what it takes to balance motherhood and elite running. So without further ado, here is Molly Huddle. All right, and now we welcome back Molly Huddle to the podcast, and I had to double check this. I think the last time you were on the show was March 2017, which is a month after Sidious Mag started as just kind of like a little passion project on the side while I was at Sports Illustrated, and a lot has happened since. I've left that job. I'm doing this full time. Sidious has kind of grown. And then for you, you're a mom now. You're an author of How She Did It, which is a fantastic book. I've got it on the shelf right behind me. And you're still crushing miles. Molly, welcome back to the Sidious Mag Podcast.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here. I was an early Sidious fan, so I remember the beginning. And yeah, I love what you're doing with it.
Oh, thanks so much. So I guess, first off, congrats on a phenomenal performance in Houston. 110.07 was the result. How are you feeling about this first major race, I would say, as a mom? What has the reaction been so far?
Yeah, it was good. I feel like I was kind of racing my way back earlier in my season, and things were pretty slow. I kind of had to just take the steps as they came and like just go through the whole process, as they say. And then I felt like we went down to Arizona and I only just started doing kind of more normal workout, like a normal training block for 5 weeks. So it was a surprise to kind of see where we could get from there, but very happy with it. A lot of people ran fast. So yeah, American record went down. So it was a good day to run.
The American record going down from Emily, I guess at this point, like, it's not all that surprising. She's definitely one that downplays it or doesn't, like, you know, love to bring the spotlight to herself before the race, where it's sort of like, yeah, I mean, she's going to try and run the best race that she can. And it just so happens that each time out, that's going to be an American record. So on your side of things, I guess not shocked whatsoever.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I mean, going into the race, well, it was kind of funny. Ray adjusted our plan for Emily and me, like, as we got closer. I don't know all the details for Emily's, but, well, like, when I was running with her a few weeks before the race, she was like, I don't think I'm going for the record. I'm just doing this race as a hard effort. And then I was like, yeah, I just didn't want to get the trials time. Like, I think 72 will be a tall order, because I ran 73:30 in Boston for the BAA half. And then a few weeks out, we were having good workouts, I guess. And Ray was like, I think you can run 70 flat. I think Emily can break 67. And he was like right on the nose, like he always is. So we adjusted.
Is that, I guess for Ray, has it always been that case, or just like in recent years? I feel like the relationship you guys have had, he just knows you guys so well.
Yeah, he's very good at knowing what level you're at for you. So like, even if like Emily and I were doing the same workouts, he knows what that means for me and what that means for her, because it doesn't always mean the same outcome. So he's learned us pretty well as athletes. And that's actually really helpful to know like exactly where your lines are, exactly what you can do on the day to try and maximize that. Because, you know, there's definitely been times where I'm like, I don't think I can do that. And then I walk away and I'm like, I did pretty much what he said. So
what's impressed you the most about seeing Emily just kind of get to this level that, you know, one, I mean, no other woman aside from Kara, who was on a different kind of course, has gone under 67 and a half before. And Emily's just kind of each time out, like just raising the bar even in the marathon and even in the half.
Yeah, we've been talking about sub 67 for a long time. Even when I went for the record back in, I don't even know what year that was, 2018 or 17. We were hoping for just under 67. So we knew it was doable, but Emily's definitely better at the longer stuff than me. Like half marathon, marathon is just her wheelhouse. So it was a matter of time. Like I thought she would do it even sooner. So not surprised. And I think she can lower it again if she wants to.
Super shoes are one thing, but from your observations, how has road racing changed in the last 10 years?
I just think the depth has gotten really, at least on the women's side, but I think both, like the depth in the US has exploded. I don't know if it was a byproduct of like, oddly, the COVID year allowed people to train like professionals more because maybe they weren't working or they weren't in college. Like, so they took that time to train, or the Olympic, like the carrot of the Olympic trials got everyone just super fit. And then they saw what they could do, like lowering standards just makes people run faster, and they did, and they have. So it's kind of an exciting time. It's kind of disorienting because it happens so fast. And I think that's the super shoe piece of it, where you're like, whoa, like suddenly there's like 20 women running the 69 minute range, like at these halves, where it used to be just the odd, you know, that used to be like somewhat of a rare time. But I think it's good for the sport. I think it's exciting. It's cool to see, like, especially on the women's side, like women come back, like having quit the sport, had kids, and like having like a second go at their dreams and setting record, like, you know, doing stuff they didn't think they could ever do. Or even just getting to the Olympic trials for a lot of women is like a big bonus. So it's cool. I don't know. I love that the starting line will be so deep at the marathon again.
I just kind of, it took a couple years to finally kind of just get used to how fast everyone's going. Like I remember I used to be blown away by like a 2:19. And now when I look at the Boston Marathon starting list, there's like seven or eight women who have gone under 2:20. And it's just so, I don't know. I think we've gotten to that point now where 2:18, 2:17 is still crazy fast, but you start to get used to it. Like it's a little weird for fans.
It is. I feel like I'm trying to get used to, and like other like fans are trying to get used to what the times mean now, yeah. But there's no, it's not really like, oh, well, 214 is the new 217. It's not really that direct. It's hard to figure. It's like, I don't really know. People are just running really fast. It's hard to know what the conversion is.
Yeah. So to throw yourself back out there with, you know, women with, you know, really fast PRs on a course like Houston, that's kind of guaranteed to be fast. You did this 5 week training camp. Can you take us through, I guess, like what it was like, I guess, to cram as much fitness into those 5 weeks to get yourself ready for this race?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't cramming. Actually, we kind of spread my week out again because previously, because I was going to my husband Kurt's Rhode Island Track Club practices so that he could watch JoJo while I did workouts, I was doing Tuesday, Friday, and normally we do 3 days between workouts, so just like a rolling schedule. And I was doing a long run every week, and we went back to my old schedule when I went down to Arizona of like a long run every 12 days. So we kind of spread things out, but it actually let me like recover better and go harder because Kurt was on break. And so he was watching the baby all day while I could just go do my stuff. And so that helped a lot to get my recovery in. And I actually was going to get body work done, which like I just hadn't done any massages or chiropractor or anything since having her. I was just like, go run, lift, and then go back to like being a mom. So I definitely had more time to do that stuff. But I think the workouts were just progressing too. So like the last four workouts were kind of they weren't like great workouts for me, but more normal paces that I would have been running pre-baby. So it was like just in time for the race, basically.
How, I guess there's no such thing as like a normal week and what that looks like, especially at this point of being a new parent. But how have you and Kurt found that balance, and what has sleep been like for you?
Sleep has been not great. So yeah, that was tough. Like we have this baby monitor app, and I was like watching it while I was at the race. Like when I would wake up at night and like look at it, and he was like still awake, like walking around with her in the middle of the night. I was like, oh no, poor Kurt, sorry. But that's kind of typical. So yeah, we're definitely hoping that's a phase and that gets better because I'm sure my recovery could be better if I was sleeping less interrupted. But yeah, Kurt's at Brown like most of the day, and then he has a pro group as well. So we try and I mean, he's not like his profession is compatible with watching JoJo. Sometimes I just go drop her off at practice, and he just times people with a baby hanging off him. So it's not like he's like, I don't know, like a police officer or like a surgeon or something. Like I just like burst into his practice and give him the baby and go run. But it's been a balance. Yeah, we have a nanny for 3 hours a day, so I like for sure get my main workout in. But I definitely had a it was definitely nice down in Arizona to have like so much more flexibility in both of us watching her together. And we're hoping like we're kind of basing my marathon plans around a little bit around that type of a schedule too. So we might wait a little later than spring to do one.
Yes. So kind of going through this comeback of yours, like you started r racing 4 months postpartum. And so some very low key races, a 5 miler, a 10K, the Mayor's Cup 5K. So what told you, I guess, like that you were ready to get back into racing, and how did you kind of approach that part of your career, basically, where it's sort of like, all right, you hit pause for a while, but now it's time to get back into it slowly.
Yeah, I wasn't ready to like race well. I just wanted the races to bring me on. And I don't know, in New England, there's so many great races just around the corner any weekend. And I find that really motivating and fun. And like, I miss the, after COVID, it was like we didn't have that many opportunities. So I just missed the community of it. And so I knew I wanted to get back out there as soon as my body was ready to like do a tempo run, basically. So that's what I did. I pretty much took my time with the rehab and sort of like strength components that are recommended after pregnancy, and did, maybe 3 or 4 workouts, and then was like, okay, my next tempo run, I might as well go do it this race. It'll be fun. So that they've just been steps towards like, better training up until recently. And I was like, okay, I think we can start like, really racing again. And I think Houston was the first one I felt that way.
So, can you take us through the race? What felt great? What didn't feel great in this one?
Yeah, I was trying not to go out too hard because when you're not fit, that's kind of like the one tool you don't have yet. You can't like get lactic in mile one. And I think I did. My watch said it was like 5:11 for me. So that was faster than I wanted to go. I was trying to find someone to run. Like the hard part about being a little bit usually when you're with the lead pack, you don't have to question who you're racing. And so the last few races, I'm like, I gotta find someone who's like appropriate to race. Like I'll get passed, and then I'll like pass someone, and I'm like, I just need to settle into a pack, and I don't know where it is. So I kind of had that going on, and I was getting passed by, a lot of guys, and a lot of like the women's lead pack like went away. They went out at 5 minute pace, I think. So I was like, okay, I'll try and run with Dababa. She's another mom coming back, and like she was out too hard for me. I was just off the back of her, and so I was kind of just like trying to hit 5:20s for the first 10K, and then all of a sudden I felt like people kept coming back to me, and I was like, okay, I'll go run with this guy, and then he would slow down. I was like, okay, I'll go run with this person, and then she would slow down, and I finally like one of like the sixth time that happened, I just turned to the guy I was passing, and I was like, "Are you running 5:20s?" And he was like, "No, but I can." So he just started running like 5:20s to the finish line, but he actually started to pick it up quite a bit, and we were catching a lot of people, and I felt okay. So I just started to race, like chase him, and then he was really helpful, and then we were kind of racing at the end. And yeah, I felt better as the race went on, which was nice. So I think maybe I could go a little faster next time, just as long as I don't go out too hard.
Did you get the guy's name? Did you say thanks? Like,
His,
hey.
I said thanks. His name is Johnny. I don't know his last name. And yeah, he was very like, I didn't ask him to pace me. I just was curious what he was running. And so it was really nice of him to like pick it up and like run together.
Yeah. So, all in all, I mean, what would you give this race a grade?
I would give it maybe a minus because I basically did what Ray said within a few seconds. And I think I was smart to kind of let go a little bit in the beginning and not get sucked in. There were a few miles in the first four where I was like, you know what? Your range is going to be big. Run anything between 5:20 and 5:28. Like just like trials time is like the minimum. So it gives you like the ability to back off. I think everyone else was like really chasing a PR. So it helped me finish stronger, which is kind of like a mature decision, but yeah, I think I could have gone under 70, so that's why the minus. I think maybe I was a little too slow some of those middle miles.
Okay. So last fall I had Chelsea Sodaro on the podcast where, she was racing with you on the track just a couple years ago before eventually transitioning to the triathlon and becoming this superstar in that field. So, her story and about her comeback was really remarkable, and I guess she's someone that you've connected with over the years. In this comeback process, has she become like someone that you've turned to a couple times, aside from maybe catching an interview that she does, but directly, I know, chatting with her or something like that about how you should approach this?
I don't know that we've chatted too much other than just like emojis on Instagram
Yeah.
at each other's daughters. But she did message me afterwards and was like, "Oh, that was awesome." And I was like, "Oh, well, I listened to a lot of her interviews after she won Kona. Like she did quite a few podcasts and interviews and stuff, and it was just like really refreshing to hear her." I think one of the interviews she mentioned like how many challenges she had and how it wasn't like really together, and it was a struggle to, find like her family had to get involved to help with childcare, and she felt like she wasn't doing it perfectly, but like it still got her to like Kona champion. So definitely someone I was very inspired by. I liked a lot of her quotes were very applicable to moms everywhere, just about like, you can still do amazing things. You just need support, basically, is what she said. And I think that's like really encouraging to hear. Like, you just need people helping you get there.
One thing she said is just sort of that this is not just like a new version, or it's a reinvention of the athlete. What does the reinvention of Molly Huddle look like? Because I think for a lot of people, the old Molly Huddle was fantastic. So we don't want things to change all that much. But for you, I guess, how are you approaching that?
Yeah, I love that quote too about the reinvention. It's hard though, like in running especially, because it's such a sport with black and white metrics of like, I was this time and now I'm this time, and I was winning this and now I'm this. So it's hard to not compare yourself, but like so much has changed. Like, you know, it's not to say that you can't get back there. It's just not going to be the same road. And I don't know, like trying to take a different route might get you somewhere better. Who knows? Focusing a lot more on the marathon going forward too. So, you know, before I had bounced back and forth to track to road. So I think maybe that will help us kind of maximize myself there. I think that's probably the one event I have a PR left in. So yeah, maybe reinventing myself a little bit by focusing more on that and doing it the way that we're going to do it now with, you know, other priorities, but still very much like having fun with it and enjoying being out there. So
we see the photos that you post from doing workouts on the track. Do you think you'll miss, I guess, like the feeling of totally racing all out on the track?
I think so, but I just think the track has moved on. Like you just have to be like, well, if I found myself in, you know, 31 flat shape, I would go, but we're not really, I don't know, doing that kind of speed work. And I think that's okay for the marathon. Like I can still achieve what I want in the marathon without being able to do like some of that faster stuff on the track. So I don't know. I do like it. I like working out on the track at any pace. I just think it's a nice, I focus well there, but to race on the track is really like you get exposed. So you want to be 100% ready. I probably wouldn't feel as comfortable going to the track and kind of like working my way back, but we'll see. Never say never.
You've taken a couple cracks at the marathon now. What are some of the biggest things that you've learned and maybe some of the areas you want to sharpen up at?
Yeah, man, it feels like so long since I've done a marathon. I feel like I have to like remind myself of what I learned, and good thing I wrote it down in my training journal. So I'll have to go back and just freshen up. But I think like we can do things better in training. Like I think I was probably overdoing it a little bit with some of the mileage previously, and I think it was hurting my mechanics. And so I think it'll be interesting to like maybe pare down on some of that stuff and just really focus on the workouts and get a good long run in and not worry too much about like all the mileage that I was like, I have to hit this number. I have to get all the runs in. I don't know. Sometimes being a mom, it forces you to like, you just can't get the run in sometimes. So it's like automatically cuts your mileage down by like 10 miles a week. But I don't think that's necessarily bad for me.
You've posted also about just kind of like the importance of recovery afterwards, like, you know, from these workouts and, you know, these races. It's a bit different now and you're paying just even more careful attention to the way your body feels. What are some of the things you've implemented there to kind of maximize on that, even though sometimes, like you said, time can be the biggest factor where you're limited?
Yeah. I think just like paying attention to like, is this run, like, am I just hobbling through this just to get it done? You know, I'd be better off just going back to the gym and like foam rolling or like doing whatever like readjustment exercise or strength exercise I have and like running shorter or skipping the run altogether. Like I used to be very afraid to do that. And you just really like, it's like you logically know you get more out of your workout when you show up fresh rather than like a little bit over tired. But I would still just, I just got so used to just doing that just because I had to check everything off on the schedule to get the confidence. But like, I don't know, I've definitely felt like my energy is better, just keeping the workload a little lighter. And so I think that's like a reminder that you just have to let go sometimes of the things that are too much, because especially now there's like other things draining from my energy bucket and I just have to like be honest about it. But it doesn't mean you're not going to run well. It just means you have to adjust.
Explain this hula hoop drill that you shared recently.
That is a John Ball special. So the athletes that go see John will know he's focuses a lot about like kind of like restacking your core. Like I guess distance running can kind of like cause strange like imbalances in your core area with pressure. I don't know, your like obliques can get weak. And so one of the things he used to like show how like your imbalance is showing up is hula hooping, and like one direction will be easier and one will be harder, but based on your imbalance. I actually couldn't do it at all at first. I was just like, I don't know how to hula hoop. And Yeah, it's not a pretty video, but Kurt was watching me struggle and he was like, do less. And then I was like doing too much. I was just like, I need to really like wrestle this hula hoop. And he's like, no, you're doing it too hard. Like, that's why it's not working. And I was like, I feel like this is a metaphor for my life that you just gave me.
That's amazing. So after this race, how quick are we already looking down the road for the next one? I know, Boston Marathon entries came out. You're not on that list, and you're taking, I think, a bit more of a conservative approach to, scheduling that next big race.
Yeah, I kind of need to decide this week. I mean, we hadn't ruled out a spring marathon, but it is getting kind of late to join a field. It's not impossible, but it would have to really be worth, like you'd have to know that you could really be ready. Boston would be great because it's in my backyard and I do want to do Boston one more time, but I think, I don't know, I also want to prioritize like a PR course that's like less variable with the weather and the hills. So we might wait till summer or fall even and just kind of plan that this week and look towards, whatever the next marathon is going to be. And probably we won't travel to Europe for it just because it's hard with my family, but maybe, I don't know. I need to like do all the pros and cons.
Was your last time out in Boston 2018?
That's the only time I've run it. And afterwards, I was like, I must come back.
Okay,
So, yeah, definitely I need a better experience than that.
because we haven't had you on the podcast since that race, but what didn't you have to get a root canal? Is that what I remember?
Oh yeah, on top of the weather, like weirdly 3 days before the race, I started to get this like throbbing tooth and we like went to a dentist on Boylston Street like 2 days before the race and I was like, just rip my tooth out and they're like, we can't, like you'll like get blood everywhere and like get dry socket, all this dental stuff. I was like, okay, so I'll just like deal with it, I guess. And I was like race morning trying to eat a bagel on like one half of my mouth, like just like ow, ow. But then like it was so cold out that my face just got numb, so I didn't really feel it in the race. But yeah, my recovery was like not a vacation. I was in a dentist's office getting like a root canal, and then while they were in there, they were like, your wisdom teeth need to come out. And so like I had to do that like the week later. I was just like so miserable.
Oh man. Yeah, I was just trying to remember because I remember in that race in particular, it was like there was no post-race interview or press conference for that one because everyone was just either hypothermic or Des was the only one doing interviews after that.
Yeah.
And
A
it was crazy. And I
lot
guess
of,
like you
yeah,
have to make up for
medicals.
it next time.
Yes. Yeah, that was a crazy year for sure. They were like taking all our clothes off like in the post-race recovery room because we were all like freezing and crying and like it was like so bizarre.
What have you kind of made of just this new page that U.S. women's marathoning has turned? It's like Molly Seidel was at the forefront of it in 2020 by making the trials, and then we just kind of just have seen this whole new crop of stars pop up in recent years. Yet at the same time, we've got some strong veteran presence with you and with Des still going strong. So is it just sort of again, I hate to keep harping on the shoes, but like that's definitely helped extend people's careers a little bit. But what are some other factors that you've kind of thought have led to this longevity of yours?
I think I just am well supported and I really like I just love racing. Like I keep saying like I really look up to Dina Castor because she, to my knowledge, never formally retired and she'll just show up whenever she wants to in like what pretty good shape or whatever she wants to show up as. Like she makes these challenges for herself and so I like that model. But yeah, like your body has to cooperate to do it at the highest level, and that's kind of not, you do your best to try and keep it in good shape and not run it into the ground, but it's not always up to you. It might just be, the way you've been training or your genetics or how long you've been training. But yeah, hoping the shoes help extend things. I definitely don't think they suit me to like train in every day, but hopefully for racing, they can lighten the load a little bit.
Yeah. No, and I just listened to Des and Kara's new podcast, and in it, Des mentions that she's planning to run the 24 marathon trials. You just secured your spot there as well. I mean, was this a thing, I guess, a couple years back where it was sort of like you could see this thing going as long as it has?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I hoped I'd be lucky enough to run until I'm 40, but like, I didn't think it was a guarantee at all. Like, even after 2012, I was like, do I have more years left? And like, that was probably overreacting. But then, yeah, once you get to like 34, 35, you're like, okay, like, it's a year by year basis at this point, but I'd love to keep going until, you know, you want to end on those even high notes, like Olympic trials or, yeah, I don't know, things that are special.
I know, like, I guess when the focus is making teams, I guess every little thing is scheduled and planned out in reverse once they set that date and they announce like when the trials are going to be, at least like for the marathon trials. But for you, I guess coming back from this process, how are you operating with your calendar? Are you looking towards, you know, this is, are you going chronologically forward in time? Or are you also working backwards from Orlando?
Yeah, it's kind of a push pull because I want the next marathon to be like a really good effort on a good course that I can get a PR from or just, you know, a solid time. And so that might mean running racing closer to the trials than I'd like, which like we usually would work back, but I just feel like I don't have a lot of marathons left per se, so I want this one to be like an actual attempt to run fast because I've really only tried once, and London wasn't a great day for me. So, we're gonna maybe, yeah, push pull a little bit, but I don't think I'll be the only one doing it. So, yeah, if I do end up racing in the fall, it'll be like knowing that like I really have to recover, and it's a little bit of a risk. But, you know, the trials is a whole nother race on our calendar for the US athletes. Like, we have to fit it in there. It's a lost PR opportunity or a lost major opportunity, but it's also like it's a race you got to be ready for, as ready as you are for any of those other ones.
Do you have any other races kind of on your bucket list to check off? It's kind of thinking of how your road racing career has gone with all these US championships that have taken place on the road. Like, it helps check the box of like, oh, there's that historic race I have to do and this other one. But do you have any other ones that you really are interested in?
I mean, it would be cool to do like the six star, like
Yeah.
get all the six stars for the marathon majors. I've only done New York and Boston and London, so I have three more
Halfway
left to
there.
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chicago. I've always wanted to do Chicago. Chicago would be great, but we'll
Berlin's
see.
fast. Yeah.
Berlin's fast. Tokyo's fast as well. They're all, but yeah, they're three fast ones. So I
Yeah.
did two of the slower ones.
It's good to get those out of the way first because it's only up from there, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, New York is just like the best marathon ever, so it's they can have a challenging course because they make up for it.
Yeah. All right, final questions I've got for you. First one is, I guess, do you have a message out there for, I guess, for like the new moms or the women who are preparing to become mothers for the first time? And just, you know, they might be thinking of like, oh, my best days are now going to be behind me. But there's just so many examples, at least within running, that are just like, no, actually, that's not true. Like, you have PRs ahead of you and these great opportunities.
Yeah, I think my message, like, I wouldn't necessarily like, so I documented a lot of my comeback just because it was what was going on in my life, and I didn't know if it was like more aggressive or less aggressive than what another professional athlete would do. I definitely wouldn't like tell a non-professional athlete to like mimic what I'm doing, but I did want to get across that, like, you know, it takes time. Like, I think I tried to take my time. I tried to put the reins on early because I prioritized health. So I guess I would say don't feel like you have to hit certain previous loads or paces or benchmarks on a certain schedule. Just let the process happen. And like, actually, I don't know, I thought it was kind of fun to start over and like let it all unfold. Like, it was kind of like every week you're getting better, but like you still feel okay. You're not like desperately racing towards like a timeline. I was able to just like do it at the pace it was happening naturally. And I don't know, it feels like you're in high school again, where like every week you're like getting so much better just because you're running. Like you're out there like running again because you were so unfit before that a little goes a long way. So I don't know, it's been refreshing to start over and just like take it as it comes, and hopefully, you know, there's a lot of other directions you're being pulled in as a mom of even one baby, but I know, you know, there's obviously moms doing it very well with multiple children, which I don't know how, but like, you can still do what you want to do, but do give yourself the time, and like, don't, I don't know, make sure you're it's an empowering and healthy net journey. That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm glad I'm able to.
Awesome. And then the final question I've got is, what's got your optimism in track and field, or even in general road running for the upcoming year? It's a fresh new year. We're caught in the middle of this time where it's like we're just off of world championships, another one coming up, Olympics, then another world championship. So there's plenty of opportunities, I guess, to follow and grow the sport. But what's got your optimism?
My optimism, I love the depth of women's running, how we've talked about it's exploding. I love like the starting line is going to be really deep at the marathon trials on the men's and women's side, especially on the women's side. I think that's going to be really cool again. I thought it was awesome last time. And I like watching like professional runners' kids getting into the sport now. Like some of the people I ran with that had kids like 10, 15 years ago, it's cool to see that talent coming through and like how the parents are handling it. And I don't know, like watching Sarah Vaughn race with her daughter last weekend, I was like, hey, this is like kind of a new fan thing for, like, I don't know. I think it's really cute and special. And they're also probably the future because they have good genes. So yeah, it's cool to see that unfold.
The funniest one I think has been just Bernard Lagat's son, and just like how tall older he is now, because it's like we've just seen this kid grow up on finish line photos with his dad over the years, and now he might be in college, I think. But
yeah,
and the other thing I was texting Kyle about this not too long ago. It's like what professional runner has the best training partner available through their kids right now? And I think like Sarah Vaughn, I think might have a strong case, but Sarah Hall, I think with her adopted daughters, I think has another strong case. One of them is a state champion in cross country. So, you know, who knows? It's like you may be making your own training partner someday.
I know. It's kind of exciting to watch them like bloom, because you're like, ooh, it's going to be like, if they're anything like their parents, which they obviously don't have to be, but like they're going to be the next star that we're going to be watching. So it's kind of
the
fun.
Funniest one is Colt Goucher, who's got his dad's running style, I think, like from the videos that Kara has shared as well. So
yeah, one of Matt's daughters runs like him,
and really
I was like, oh, watch out for her. She's gonna be good.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, well, there's lots. I feel like that's always a fun thing to like try and spot, not to put pressure on them, but it's just like fun. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, Molly, well, thanks so much for doing this. And we're looking forward to seeing you back out there and racing. And hopefully it's not another 5 years, I guess, since we did our last podcast, and we'll get you back on again before or after your next marathon. So thanks again, Molly.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, Chris.
That does it for another episode of the City of Smack podcast. Thanks for listening and supporting. If you enjoyed this episode, share with a friend, leave a review and rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you want to contribute and support the show, you can also back us on Patreon by visiting patreon.com/cityofsmag, or send over any tip or one-time donation over to City of Smack on Venmo. You guys are all the best. Thanks for listening. Legs are feeling good. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.